Welcome to the Hannah Miller Show. And here she is, Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly conservative and unashamedly Christian, this is Hannah Miller, and this is what happened this week. So a couple of stories today, really two main things. First, I want to talk about some stuff here in South Carolina that's been happening, and then I want to talk about the southern border, and we've got two different stories. Talking about the southern border, we haven't discussed what's been going on there for a while, and so I want to bring a good update for us on that, especially because we have the end of Title 42 coming up. So let's talk about what's been happening here in South Carolina. The biggest thing has been the Certificate of Need, and I have not talked a whole lot about Certificate of Need. So the South Carolina Policy Council, this is their statement about Certificate of Need, and then I'll update you on what's happened. So Certificate of Need requires healthcare providers to go through an extensive approval process before constructing or expanding their facilities or purchasing certain equipment like hospital beds. And if you remember, during COVID-19, that was the big thing. We need more hospital beds. We need blah, blah, blah. That was what, but because of Certificate of Need, a lot of hospitals' hands were tied in their ability to expedite getting hospital beds and other kinds of medical equipment that they needed. And so back to the South Carolina Policy Council, their quote on this, though. They said, in South Carolina, competing providers can also challenge the request, often resulting in much-needed healthcare facilities being held up for years. So, for example, if one hospital system here in South Carolina said, you know what, we would like to grow our facility to, you know, by another 50 beds or 100 beds or whatever, there's other competitors, hospital systems in South Carolina could then challenge that request and say, no, they don't need that many. We actually need that many, or it'll attract too much attention. And it's really this convoluted process that is totally unnecessary, and it allows for certain hospital systems to have a monopoly. And all hospital systems, really, to have a monopoly on medical facility, medical equipment, and just providing for the medical needs of the community. Because, and especially rural areas where they want to just put up a small clinic to meet the needs of their small rural area, but they can't compete against these large hospitals, these large providers, when they put in their request. They might put in a request to have a small rural facility put in. Let's say a private a doctor wants to have a small medical facility or small kind of hospital or clinic or something. Large hospitals will challenge his request and say, no, he doesn't, and then squash it down. And of course, they're the ones with the big money. They can also pay their lobbyists. They can also, you know, kind of turn the ear of our representatives and our senators. And so a lot of these healthcare facilities are just held up for years and years that are very needed because of the Certificate of Need process. So back to the South Carolina Policy Council, quote, while opponents have argued that Certificate of Need is necessary to contain costs and reduce wasteful spending, research on the subject paints a different picture. A study by the Mercatus Center found that Certificate of Need laws are associated with higher spending and less access to rural hospitals. It also found that various mortality rates are higher in states with Certificate of Need regulations. All of those things are true. Where, and this is one of the reasons that I tell people all of the time that they advocate for single payer healthcare or socialized medicine, is the reality that with Certificate of Need specifically, not even addressing all of the issues that we have with insurance, which as what is his name? Daniel Horowitz calls them insurance cartels, because that's really what they are when you understand what they're doing. Even without them, in states that have Certificate of Need, we do not truly have a free market healthcare system. So when you are having issues with the hospital and you think that single payer or socialized healthcare is the answer, The problem is that what you're already dealing with and many of the problems that you have with the healthcare system is because it's already government run. And you're already having so many problems because there's the other hospitals can't compete. There's no free market there. So don't think that the problems that you're seeing are the result of the free market. No, no, no. That is not true. And one of the reasons is because of certificate of need. Now, this bill that they just passed that's going to the governor's desk, it's not perfect. It doesn't go into effect until 2027, but it's a massive step in the right direction to getting South Carolina on track to end certificate of need. We will see more access to healthcare, doctors will be empowered to privately practice, and the hospital monopolies, we will start to see an end to that. Now, I think there is a non-compete clause thing with doctors that got into the Senate bill that eventually passed that we might have to come back and deal with later on with further legislation. But it's actually, I'm kind of astonished that this certificate of need bill got passed with as little, there was some fanfare, there was some fighting, but sometimes when these things come up, it just feels like we just have to slog for years and years and years and years and years. And we have been fighting it for a couple of years, but it just doesn't, I'm just really surprised. And I'm very grateful because this is definitely necessary and a huge step in the right direction for South Carolina. And I'm excited that this is the direction that we're going. Not perfect, but it's a big step in the right direction. Okay, so let's talk about the southern border. So speaking at a news conference on Sunday, El Paso, Texas Mayor Oscar Leeser declared a state of emergency beginning May 1st to prepare for an expected influx of illegals crossing the border as the Title 42 public health order is scheduled to expire May 11th. So if you don't remember, President Trump invoked Title 42 in March 2020 to prevent the spread of COVID-19, giving U.S. border agents the authority to immediately expel and prevent illegal aliens encountered along the border from seeking asylum. Spectrum News shared that Title 42 has been used more than 2.5 million times to expel migrants since March 2020. Although that number includes people who repeatedly attempted to cross the border. So this isn't like 2.5 million different migrants. This is 2.5 million different encounters. And it may be that some of those are four, five, six, this is their fourth or fifth or sixth encounter with Border Patrol. So the emergency declaration allows the city to open temporary shelters with the use of federal funds. They anticipate thousands of illegal aliens crossing into the United States from Mexico every day as early as May 11th. And the declaration will last for 7 days and then will go before the city council to be ratified for a month, according to the mayor. And if you haven't already seen some of the videos that are coming out of El Paso already, I'm talking about hundreds of folks just sleeping on the streets in sleeping bags. I mean, you watch this. One of the videos that I saw is they're kind of panning or walking down this city block and then around the corner. And it's just, you can't even walk on the sidewalk because there are so many bodies laying on the ground sleeping. There's just so many illegals that have come into El Paso, and they're going to have a major issue. And then here's just another way that your federal dollars are being spent, your federal tax dollars are being spent to facilitate this. They're going to declare a state of emergency and use your tax dollars to put up housing and make accommodations for these folks. And the thing is that what's hard about all of this is that nobody wants to see human beings treated poorly. And nobody wants them to be out on the street. And so opening temporary shelters and things like that, those are kind things to do. But the reality is they have no business being here illegally. They have no business being here illegally. And we should not facilitate that. We are enablers when we do this kind of thing. We're enabling bad behavior and we're enabling an influx of millions of illegal aliens. All right, so I want to talk a little bit also about the press briefing that happened on Monday, because the White House press secretary, she said something that's just that I want to talk about, and then I want to expound on it and give full context and give a full update on what's going on at the border. So we'll be back in a second.
Want to hear more encouraging and inspiring stories about South Carolina Baptists? The Courier Magazine is the best source. Individual subscribers may receive the Courier Magazine for $21 per year, which includes free access to our e-edition, or receive the e-edition of the Courier Magazine for $12. To subscribe, call 888-667-4693 or visit our website at baptistcourier.com.
All right, so let's dive into this story about illegal immigration being down 90%. So I want to give full context to that statement and what she's actually talking about. And I'm bouncing off of an article by Andrew Arthur over at the Center for Immigration Studies. They do a great job over there, and I like to follow them for immigration information. So anyway, that's Andrew Arthur, and is the author of the article that I'm kind of jumping off of for this section of the show today. So during her press briefing on Monday, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre claimed that when it comes to illegal migration, direct quote, when it comes to illegal migration, you've seen it come down by more than 90%. And that's because of the actions that this president has taken. Is that factually true? No. But more analysis is in order, as her comment kind of underscores the role amnesty for millions of aliens unlawfully present plays. And as Andrew Arthur said, don't take Jean-Pierre's claim literally, but do take it seriously. What do I mean by that? Well, context. Here's the quote that she was actually, or the question, I'm sorry, that she was answering. The question was, how does the president want to address this challenge of illegal immigration? A lot of people coming here. And is this one of the issues which he considers his job not done, job not finished? Okay, and then she began her response. And when she did, she referred to the massive amnesty bill President Biden proposed on Inauguration Day, as well as Biden's often repeated contention that the immigration system had been, quote, broken and needed to be modernized. And this is what she said. So, as you know, on his first day in this administration, the president put forth a comprehensive immigration legislation. And that's to show how seriously he took this, how he understood that the system has been broken. It needs to be modernized, be moved to the 21st century. And then she pivoted and contended that the president has asked Congress to take action, Republicans in Congress to take action in a bipartisan way. And of course, Republicans have actually passed two bills out of committee in recent weeks to address the current issues at the border. But she's not referencing those and likely didn't mean that legislation. Or she did not reference them and likely did not mean them. Because rather, she's plainly referring to Biden's original amnesty bill, formerly called the U.S. Citizenship Act, H.R. 1177. And it was introduced in the last 117th Congress by Representative Linda Sanchez, from a Democrat from California, and has actually, according to Andrew Arthur, been referred to 12 separate committees in the House. And here's just a little bit of insider. When absent something catastrophic kind of happening, a national calamity along the lines of September 11th or something, a bill referred to one committee stands a shot of at least being marked up, provided that it was offered by the majority party. A bill referred to two committees is likely to get slow rolled at best, and legislation referred to three or more, that's not going anywhere. So this thing was referred to 12 separate committees. That thing's not going anywhere, ever. And of course, the last Congress was exclusively controlled by the president's fellow Democrats in both the House and the Senate. But even then, none of the 12 committees that received H.R. 1177 marked it up. And that's just how, that just shows, as Andrew Arthur pointed out, how unserious Biden's plan was at the time. That's not to say that the last Congress did not attempt to pass massive amnesty. Look, we all know there was multiple times through shady means that they tried to do this. It was a constant challenge to keep track of the Senate's efforts to tack amnesty onto so-called reconciliation bills, despite repeated rejections by that body's parliamentarian. They were constantly trying to put this thing and just tack amnesty on anything that they could to get it to pass. So, illegal immigration, but let's go back to her comment that it is down 90%. So Jean-Pierre has received a lot of flack this week, as well as she should, over her response, because of course she was patently wrong. While she didn't offer a time frame for her contention that illegal immigration has come down by 90%, it's safe to assume that she meant in recent months. All right, in the last few months, it's come down 90%. So, let's look at the numbers. Border Patrol apprehensions did fall by nearly 93,000, 58%, between December and January. But, as Andrew Arthur explained, those numbers come out in February, after they came out in February. That decline was a major factor of one, seasonal travel patterns. Just folks, there tends to be less border crossings in the months of January and the first months of the year. Two, that it's a reflection of how truly dreadful December's apprehension numbers were. They were the worst month at the southern border ever. Ever. Border Patrol agents apprehended more than 221,000 illegal migrants in the month of December. And three, certain actions taken by the Biden administration hide the border disaster. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to highlight. There's two things specifically that we need to talk about that the Biden administration is doing to hide what's going on and to help their illegal immigration numbers to come down. And there were several such actions. They were included in a January 5 fact sheet that was issued by the White House. But like I said, two stand out. And the first was an extension of a Venezuelan parole program to include nationals of Nicaragua, Haiti, and Cuba. As extended, so what do you mean? Hannah, this is the first I've heard about this. So as extended, I'll explain it. It allows 30,000 nationals of those countries to enter the United States, get this, per month with work authorization on parole for a 2-year period in lieu of entering illegally. So you get what I'm saying? There are four countries, Venezuela, Nicaragua, Haiti, and Cuba, that are allowing people to just sign up for a work authorization, and they're putting them on a parole so that they're not listed as illegal. Okay? And that's 30,000 of them per month. 360,000 a year being allowed in on this parole program. And this thing is very, Andrew Arthur said, is very legally dubious because the president lacks any authority to use DHS's limited parole powers to ignore Congress's immigration limits and allow 360,000 aliens per year into the United States. Of course, not surprisingly, you got 20 states already that have since sued the Biden administration to shut down the program. And this is in a case captioned Texas versus DHS. So you'll have to follow that and see what happens. More kind of a bit on that in a second. The second action that was released that I want to talk about in this January 5 fact sheet provides access for would-be illegal migrants to the CBP One app, enabling them to schedule appointments for interviews with CBP officers at the ports of entry. Again, instead of entering illegally. So let me explain this. So first of all, though, the CBP One port, this appointment initiative thing, it doesn't have the same kind of legal issues that the previous action that I talked about, that's, you know, now Texas and all these other states are suing the Biden administration over this allowing the parole program, for lack of a better word. This one with the CBP One app, the port appointment initiative, it does not have the legal issues, but it has a lot of issues. Most notably, it does nothing to deter smugglers from moving illegal migrants to northern Mexico, where they must be to make those port appointments. So they have to be in northern Mexico to make the appointments. So in other words, the smugglers and their cartel cronies will still get rich, and the migrants will still suffer, the administration's contentions to the contrary notwithstanding. Okay? And that's not just for me. That's from Andrew Arthur. I'm going to get that wrong. I'm so sorry. Andrew Arthur. This is what you get for having two first names, dude. Anyway, so I'm going to constantly be flipping them. Andrew Arthur. But anyway, he's right that it doesn't do anything to prevent this from happening, from smugglers continuing to cause problems in moving illegal aliens. The other thing about this is that the only real reason to create such a scheme, and Andrew Arthur pointed this out, is to make Border Patrol's apprehension numbers look lower by repackaging those aliens who apply for port appointments and who are thereafter waived into the United States, as more than 99% of them have been since the plan was initiated. Do you hear that? 99% of those who have applied for port appointments are waived into the United States and are labeled as somehow, quote, legally here. Okay? They're not legally here. And in fact, they are as removable as aliens who cross the line illegally without an appointment or without making an appointment, so to speak. All of that said, the CBP One port appointment scheme is also entirely unworkable and is already breaking down because of the sheer weight of migrants who are seeking to access appointments. That's not surprising. Another thing that's not surprising is that they aren't sticking around northern Mexico until the administration gets the bugs ironed out. They're just entering illegally. So they're just coming in. They make the appointment, they say it's taking too long, and so they just come in, and they're just waved in. How many do you think are actually going to come back and show up for that appointment? Probably not very many. I don't know. There's no numbers, there's no data to say that anybody's provided me that I could find, but I think that's probably pretty safe to say. Speaking of getting the bugs ironed out, back to amnesty. That brings us all back to Biden's amnesty push, because everything that's happened at the Southwest border since Biden took office should be labeled through that lens. Andrew Arthur pointed that out. I say this frequently. This is amnesty is what they want. And so we need to view everything that happens there through that lens. So in his February 2023 State of the Union address, Biden pretty much ignored the issue of immigration. He said about 117 words about it, and here are the 48 words that Andrew Arthur highlighted in his article about this. He said, quote, America's border problems won't be fixed until Congress acts. If you won't pass my comprehensive immigration reform, at least pass my plan to provide the equipment and officers to secure the border and a pathway to citizenship for dreamers, those on temporary status, farm workers, and essential workers. Get this, though. Let me just put this in your brain, store it away. The phrases comprehensive immigration reform and pathway to citizenship are code for amnesty. That's what he means. And don't get suckered into the talk about a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers, those on temporary status, farm workers, and essential workers either. Don't get suckered into that. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer explained in November that that's just a stalking horse for, quote, a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here. That's what they mean. And he said the quiet part out loud. Returning to the point, however, the border is simply a hostage in the president's amnesty plan. And I like how Andrew Arthur put that, so I want to make sure to give him credit. The border is simply a hostage in the president's amnesty plan. Look, we all want the border secured from hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants, all of us who are listening to this show. We want it protected and secured from drugs, from aliens who pose a national security danger. We just had a case of that this last week where you had an illegal who'd been deported 4 or 5 times, already killed a family of 5. All right? We want the border secured in those kinds of situations. The House GOP, they may want that too, some of them at least. Any number of other Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill as well. We should all be prepared to pay a price. States can, and in many cases should, sue to block various immigration proposals that emanate from the White House. But no court, not even the Supreme Court, can force the administration to free DHS agents and officers to question, apprehend, detain, prosecute, or remove any given alien. Not as a direct matter can Congress, really. Congress can use its appropriations and impeachment power to force a change at the southwest border, but kind of absent some significant shift or black swan event, as Andrew Arthur put it, there is not much that Republicans can do, or even most Democrats, really. And, you know, as noted, the Senate Majority Leader is on board with the president's amnesty push, and nothing will come to the floor of the upper chamber without his say-so. So, go back to what Jean-Pierre said. She offers some, you know, facially erroneous facts, but those facts aren't what she's actually peddling, all right? From Jean-Pierre and Biden's perspective, the U.S. immigration system is broken because there are millions of aliens here without status and no short-term prospect of gaining it. See, their idea of a broken system and our idea of a broken system are entirely different. Their concept of a fixed system is one where 11 to 12 million illegal aliens have amnesty and immediate citizenship. Your and my idea of a broken system is one where 11 to 12 million illegal aliens are able to enter the country and get citizenship. Their solution is our problem. Their idea of it needs to be modernized is because there are millions of foreign nationals who want in who can't get in legally under the current law. That's what they mean. And the president will accommodate them nonetheless and force the states to play whack-a-mole in challenging him. Hit one program and the next will pop up. That's what they're doing. They just, you know, that's what this Texas versus DHS, all of these other, it's just states, all these different programs popping up left and right, and states just entering into suing the government one right after the other for these programs, playing whack-a-mole. And as Joe Biden said, America's border problems won't be fixed until Congress acts by passing amnesty, any amnesty. And that, as Andrew Arthur said, was a threat, not a prediction. And it was said about Donald Trump, and I'll finish this because this is, I'll close his article with his quote. Andrew Arthur said that it was said about Donald Trump that you should not take him literally, but you should take him seriously. And the same is true of Karine Jean-Pierre. That should be taken seriously. This concept of the border is broken and our concept of modernizing it and fixing it is to just have 11 to 12 million illegal aliens given amnesty. That should be taken very seriously. and the ways that they're going about it, ushering in and hiding the number of illegal immigrants that are coming across the border should be very concerning. Because they want all of these illegals here. Why do they want all of these illegals here? Well, we all know the answer for that. Because they can get them into states that don't have voter ID and they can get them to vote for them. And that's just another way that they can steal elections. Because they're already feeling the shift with a lot of those who are legally here. They're feeling the shift with the legal immigrants. And they're feeling some shift and pushback from the African American community, too, who have been such strong, solid voter base for them. So what do they got to do? They have to bring in more voters. And then they have to tell you that voter ID is illegal, so then they can have all of these illegal aliens that they have essentially hidden in their coming across of the border so that you have no idea how many of them are actually here. That's what this whole plan is about. That's why they don't want to fix the border by how you and I think the border needs to be fixed, by shutting it down and not allowing thousands upon thousands, literally, of illegal immigrants across the border every day and drowning counties and cities like El Paso, who are now in crisis, a state of emergency, literally. And those numbers are only going to continue to increase with the Biden administration and their policies. They will continue to export those illegal immigrants from El Paso and the surrounding counties, the surrounding areas, further into the United States. And all of it is in order to shift the demographic and solidify a voter base for themselves. That's what it's all about, in changing the dynamics, the demographics of the United States citizenry. That's the entire purpose of it. They have to get more people here in the United States who will suckle off of the United States government's financial titty, excuse me. Because once they're stuck there, once they're feeding off of that, they're a for sure that they can't get off. They trap them. And they'll always vote themselves more money. And that always comes from the progressive left. So, that's the latest. That's the actual facts about what's going on at the border. Jean-Pierre is, that 90% is a total lie. But what she's actually trying to sell you, the amnesty, that phrase, that percentage that she threw that in there, everybody got distracted by the 90% quote that she said, but her in context, the whole thing about fixing the system, having it broken down at the border, all of that she's trying to peddle, we should take that very seriously. Because that's what they're pushing for. Biden administration, she is, most all of the progressive Democrats.
Thank you for listening to The Hannah Miller Show. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast. This podcast is produced by Bob Sloan Audio Productions. If you'd like to find out more about Hannah or to schedule her for a speaking event, go to her website, thehannahmillershow.com.